Hey, Cracked fans. As winter slowly turns into spring and all of us look forward to getting back on the outdoor tennis courts, we here at Cracked Rackets want to ensure that you listeners have everything you need to make sure your return to outdoor tennis is a successful one. That's where our friends at Gamma Sports come in. Now, if you need new strings, new grips, new court equipment, ball hoppers, machine tools, and accessories, whatever it may be, our friends at Gamma have it all for you. They've also, of course, got dampeners, overgrips, replacement grips, they've got it all. And if you go to their website, gammasports.com/tennis right now, you use our promo code CRACK20, you'll get 20% off your order. Now, I know Gamma has a new string pattern in the queue called the React Pro, which all of you Gamma string users will enjoy. And even if you're not using Gamma strings, maybe now's the time to start. But they've also got polyesters, everything you could be looking for from a tennis equipment standpoint, all in one location. Just go to gammasports.com/tennis right now. Use that promo code CRACK20 to get 20% off your order. Again, gammasports.com/tennis. Use that promo code CRACK20 to get 20% off your order. Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. North Carolina week continues here on the show as we are joined for the first time by UNC women's tennis head coach Brian Kalbas to chat, of course, about his team's dramatic 4-3 victory in the national indoor finals over Texas. I also want to talk to Coach Kalbas about what it's like to coach one of the super teams in women's college tennis this season, what it's like to have that much talent on the roster, the difficulties that come with balancing that sort of talent, ensuring everyone has enough playing opportunities, of course. I also wanted to hear from him what it was like to find out that his class of seniors, Sanford, Jones, Graham, Davitella, were all coming back for an additional year, what he thinks of all of the young stars on his roster. It's a fantastic conversation, one that's been a long time in the making. Feel like Coach Kalbas should have come on the podcast years ago. Nevertheless, it is fantastic to finally have the chance to chat with him now. Of course, before we get to that interview, I have to remind all of you listeners, the reason these podcasts are made possible week in, week out, because of the support we get from all of you, from our Patreon family, and of course, from our friends at Midwest Sports. If you need any new equipment to ensure your optimal performance on the court, just go to MidwestSports.com. Use that promo code CR15 to get 15% off your order. Free two-day shipping on all orders exceeding $75. And best of all, a free can of Wilson Extra Duty tennis balls. I feel like I have the ad read down to the point where I could do it as one of those auctioneers, like, free tennis balls, free two-day shipping on all orders exceeding $75. Do I have Wilson Extra Duty? Do I have Wilson Extra Duty? Anyways, you can have Wilson Extra Duty by going to MidwestSports.com. Use that promo code CR15 to let them know we sent you there. With that in mind, here is my conversation with North Carolina women's tennis head coach Brian Kalbas.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Joining us on the podcast today, he is a four-time ITA National Team Indoor Championship winning coach, two-time National Coach of the Year, and the head coach of the University of North Carolina women's tennis team. It's Coach Brian Kalbas. Coach, welcome to the show. We should have had you far before this date. That's on me, but it's a pleasure to finally get the chance to chat with you. How are you holding up?
Thanks, Alex. Really appreciate it. We actually have won five times of the national indoors, but who's counting, right?
You know what? I forgot to include 2021. I was there. I was like, I can't believe I left that off my list. I have 13, 15, yeah. 18, and 20, yeah. And 21. You're right. Yeah. Five-time national championship winning head coach, Coach Kalbas. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited to be here for you.
Oh, it is our pleasure having you. Well, let's start with that fifth championship, because I was in Stillwater to watch it all unfold. Your Tar Heels defending their national indoor title from last year. They knock off Ohio State, Pepperdine, and then Texas in a dramatic 4-3 finish. Let's just start with that final. Have you ever played a match that late into the night before?
Actually, one other time, at the NCAAs in Athens, Georgia, we finished the match about 2 o'clock in the morning against Miami in the round of 16. We had a lot of weather and it kept being delayed and did not want to go indoors. So, we started about 10:30 and finished about 2 o'clock. So, did not go our way. We did not, handle the lateness of the match very well in that one. So, but in this type of a match, a championship match, to start as late as we did was definitely something that I was not used to. I was actually around midnight, I was yawning and I was just like, man, I need to stay awake. And it was just uncomfortable because I was just, how are my players able to kind of focus if I'm not I'm not even running around and I'm the one who's looking and feeling tired.
No, absolutely. I mean, I felt that in the commentary booth as well. And then it hit like 11 o'clock and it was just pure adrenaline the rest of the way. And, you know, what was so fascinating about that final match is, you know, you guys were the veteran team, the experienced team, defending champions, the core of your group, Alexa Graham, Sarah Davitella, Allie Sanford, McKenna Jones. All they know is playing in national indoor championship matches. And yet you're coming up against a pretty much entirely freshman Texas team that, respectfully, and you guys won, so I think I can say this without you getting angry at me, they smacked you in the face in doubles in those first 20 minutes. And just, I'm curious what your reaction was to that doubles point, because I know for me, sitting in the booth, I was in shock. It was like, 20 minutes in, it's like, oh, I guess Texas is up 1-0.
Yeah, I was, I told the team after that, I said, we just got obliterated. We got beat. I mean, there wasn't anything that, I mean, granted, we could have done some different things. I took the blame. I don't think I prepared our team for the onslaught that ensued. I also told them, I said, we're fortunate we're not down 3-0, because it felt like we were down more than just 1 point. And I said, let's try and, try and see if we can extend points, extend games, extend sets, extend matches, and make this match as long as possible. I feel that the longer the match goes, I felt the better, and maybe find out if this team, who is so talented, if we can get them a little bit nervous and get them to mm-hmm. feel the pressure of a national championship event. Because I did feel that our team, for the most part, had been there before, and the looks on their faces after doubles, after getting, it was almost like they could flip the switch very quickly. And obviously it didn't quite happen that way because we lost first sets in singles and we were again having to dig ourselves out of another hole.
Yeah, that's half the fun of college tennis, right, Coach, is building that hole and trying to dig your way out. And, in that match in particular, a big switch to start the singles was, you moved Sarah up to number one singles, Sarah Davitella, who I'm referring to for you listeners at home, number two singles, who's normally at one, was Alexa Graham. Let's just start with the Sarah piece, because if anyone listened to the commentary throughout the weekend, they'll know my feelings. But I feel like Sarah Davitella might be the most underrated player, not just in college, but in the world. And like, I know she's number three in the country or number four in the country, whatever it is. And is it possible to be underrated when you're that highly ranked? Probably not. But I swear to God, Coach, I've never seen her lose. And it's just like, she always finds a way. It's unconventional, but it just seems to work. The performance you got from her at number one to knock off Peyton in straight sets, what did that mean to your team?
It was gigantic. I mean, Peyton Stearns, we recruited her. She's obviously an amazing player and has had so much success on the junior and professional level. For Sarah to beat her in straight sets just gave our team a huge boost of confidence. And it's the way she did it. I mean, her energy and her mindset was like, I need to get off this court as quickly as possible to get a point on the board for our team, but also because I want to cheer like crazy for the rest of the girls on our team. And that's, it's just, she was sprinting to the sideline. She was sprinting to their side, and that's normally not Sarah. But she was so excited, so fired up. And you could see the energy that she was bringing to our team, every point. And it was remarkable. And you pointed out, I don't know if this is a stat, but she has never lost in the indoor tournament. I think she's 15-0. And so for her to have that kind of, and win the MVP award three times, I mean, I know my son's a stat guy, and he said nobody's won it twice. And now for her to win it three times is remarkable.
Mm-hmm. No, she was exceptional all weekend long. And, you know, it wasn't just her. It was Alexa at two as well, delivering the straight set victory. And you mentioned it. You guys dropped four first sets in singles. And, you know, we'll get to the comeback at four momentarily. But to get the wins at the top two from two of your senior leaders, did you feel a momentum shift coming? Coaching through that match, I imagine it's a heart attack and a half. I imagine you probably burned 1,500 calories. You didn't need to, by the way, but you probably burned that extra 1,500 during the course of the match through sweat. But, you know, to get those wins from the top two, what did that do for the rest of the team?
Well, it was amazing. I mean, honestly, because Sarah and Alexa were so focused, I normally go down there and I normally coach them, but I really didn't want to mess them up. So I didn't really talk to them too much. I just kind of let them do their thing. And if they were going to start to struggle, I was going to kind of chime in. But they were two runaway freight trains, and just the amount of again, they bring in energy differently. Alex is more vocal, but it's for them to kind of do what they did at the top of the lineup for us at a period of time in that match where we needed a couple of quick points really, really helped us. And I know that gave the other girls who were struggling confidence that, hey, we're in this, and we could do that. I just need to focus on my core, get myself back into it. But Sarah and Alexa did an incredible job with their fifth year senior leadership, giving us those quick two straight set points against two very, very good players on their team.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And again, I want to talk about Fiona, McKenna, Cam, Mora. We can talk about everyone on your team at some point. We're going to touch on them, but let's get to that number four singles match. Elizabeth Scotty's down, I think it was 6-4, 4-1 in that match. And then just all of the sudden, the script flips. And she ends up leveling the match. And she takes that tiebreaker in the second set and just, kind of runs away with it in the third. Although, being at that match, I think, three of the last four games went to a deuce point, and she took all of the deuce points. I mean, that performance at her at the four singles position, because, most coaches around the country, of course, the luxury of having Elizabeth Scotty at the number four position is something anyone would ask for. But on this particular day, she's taken on a freshman in Charlotte Shvatopan who's matching her shot for shot. What did you see from her that allowed her to turn around that match? And then ultimately, what did this victory mean to your program?
Yeah, so for Elizabeth, we call her Scotty. So for Scotty, it was interesting. The day before, she wasn't feeling great. That was her first collegiate dual match loss. And so for her to kind of be reeling from that loss and not feeling great, the next day she asked me to go hit outside in 30 degree weather just to get her rhythm and timing. And so she and I hit that morning, and so I was so impressed, just the maturity and just the professionalism that she was displaying on a day after she just took her first loss. So when she was down, you could tell that by the look on her face that she was, it wasn't like the day before where she wasn't feeling great and she didn't have it. You could tell that there was a few points here and there, and she was mentally still in it. And I think that wore down Charlotte a little bit, and Charlotte's such a great player. We recruit her, such an amazing person. And I think because Scotty just literally just stayed patient, played one point at a time and did not get down on herself. She was able to kind of turn around and win those big points, as you pointed out, those key no ad points, three in a row. And then getting down 2-0 in the third, and then winning six straight games. When I went over there, it was, the look on her face was just like,
when she's pumping her fist and she's looking at you with the, you know, this confident looks like this, I'm not going to be denied. I got this. And I really didn't have to say a lot of really, impactful things, just a few things here and there, but really it was more of her focus and her determination that was the difference.
Mm-hmm. No, it was a phenomenal match. And I have to say, just because we're Cracked Rackets, and I'm saying this lovingly, the racket toss from Charlotte Shvatopan at the end of the match was maybe my favorite moment of the weekend. That was what we needed at 12:45. It was like we all are feeling that right now.
Classy,
so thank you.
As classy as Charlotte is, she came over and apologized and really made a point that, she didn't want any of us, especially Scotty, to feel that it was directed towards her. And Charlotte's just a really an unbelievable person. And I know that was the tough way to end a really difficult match. And but it was more Scotty winning it than anything else. And I just again really applaud Scotty's just ability to kind of stay in it when it really didn't look great, and give our team a chance to win a national championship, which is really what she did.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And again, I agree with you. The reason I bring it up is because it's what we were all feeling. I could not echo but your sentiment more. And now, Coach, you look beyond the match, and you guys got looks at Pepperdine that weekend, who certainly I know they didn't have their number one player in the country in Ashley Leahy, but they were incredible all weekend long. And you guys got a look at Texas as well, and you guys got to play Georgia in the season. And I believe you guys have won 29 consecutive matches, 18-0 last year, 11-0 now on this season. And Coach, you're in that position where you have probably 10, 11 players on your roster that can contribute anywhere in the lineup, and you feel pretty comfortable about that. And so, even backing away from that national indoor result, we're 2 months into the season, and I'm sure if I told you you would have only played 11 matches in 2 months, you wouldn't have been the happiest about that. But as you look at where your team's at this point of the year, how are things feeling in Chapel Hill?
Well, I mean, knock on wood, we've done a really good job of staying healthy for the most part. We've had, a few aches and pains and here and there, but, we're excited, really excited. We played our first conference match at Virginia, and that was a tough match. Virginia is a very talented team. And, so being on the road, first conference match, we did a great job. We have two really tough conference matches coming up at home against Miami and Florida State, both two really, really tough teams. And those are going to be our first two matches outside. We've had incredible weather the last couple of weeks, so we've been able to practice outside, but we haven't played a match outside. So last year, our first match outdoors was at Florida State, 1-2, and it was barely 50 degrees, but it was so windy, and it felt like it was about 30 degrees. And I think the weather is going to be a lot better this weekend here. Very excited. I mean, we felt last year with the season being cut short and having our players, our seniors feeling like their career's over, that there's a lot of unfinished business. And I know we've have a streak going, but we don't talk about the streak. We don't really, the indoors is great, and our players can always say they're a national champion, but we've turned the page, and we're just trying to get better. As you pointed out, we have a very deep team. We're trying to give everybody opportunities, and we've done that. If you look at who we've played in the last few matches, it's our lineup, especially at the bottom, has been very different. We have. We need everybody. We talk about it all the time. We need everybody to be fresh and ready and competitively sharp, for us to be successful at the end. So, we're going to continue to give players opportunities, and they seem to be rising to the challenge and the opportunity, when it's presented to them.
Mm-hmm. I'm tempted to do 5 minutes on that Florida State match because I remember it was either Mora or Scotty who clinched it, right? I think it was Mora who clinched that.
Well,
right?
It was absolutely dynamic. You could tell that it was coming down to Cam's match because she was in a third set breaker and was down. She had actually was down match point, But, you know, at the same time, Scotty was kind of up 3-0 and 4-0, 4-1 in the third. And then when Cam beats Huell in a third set tiebreaker, I think it was 9-7. You know, it was, and then Scotty ended up winning 6-1 in the third, but Scotty ultimately clinched it. But, I mean, you could tell that it was Cam's match to really give us that victory, which was, you know, pretty amazing. And we played that match without Sarah Davitilla because she was sick and she wasn't feeling great. So, you know, just, you know, again, and that was Casey Harvey's first introduction to a competitive, you know, real competitive match on the road at Florida State. So that was a great, just a great victory for our team. Seems like eons ago, but you know,
it was literally a lifetime ago. I'm thinking I'd just moved to Indianapolis and I was like, oh, I'm going to watch some UNC Florida State this weekend. And like, yeah, now 12 months later, that match is lost to the history of time. And, you know, again, I do want to talk about the rest of your roster about, you know, because I think in particular, we know who the senior stars are. But when you get the call from Sarah, and I asked a similar question to UNC men's head coach Sam Paul in an interview that's also being released this week. But when you get the call from Sarah and Alexa and Allie and McKenna, or maybe it's just a group chat with the four of them and you, and they're saying, Coach, we're coming back for another year. Is that a top five moment of your life? Like top three? Where does that rank up there? Because I imagine I'd be like, oh my God, we can do it again.
It, you know, again, you go from to feeling so disappointed that, you know, our players, our season shut down to having the possibility of, oh my goodness, you know, they can come back. And then with the idea that, oh, but maybe they can't get a scholarship. You know, so how is it going to be paid for? Some of them can't afford it, to the point where, oh, you know, we find out that we can have it paid for. And then later on in that summer, we found out it's from Coach Williams and his wife, Wanda. But when our players say they're coming back unequivocally, there's such a emotional high and pride and just satisfaction to know that not that we're going to have an incredible team, but just to know that, you know, these players, they love Carolina. They love college tennis. They just love this team and they want to have another go at it. And they could have easily, you know, decided, you know what, I'm going to go pro. I'm going to do this. I'm going to move on. But they truly, truly love, being, you know, in this program and they're all working so hard. And I mean, it's just refreshing to me to see fifth-year seniors having such passion, you know, for the team, and in so many ways, it makes my heart so warm and fuzzy. Yeah.
No, that's, I love to hear that as well. And you know, it's so rare, any team sport, any sport in general, the thing any athlete, you ask them what they would want, it's a second chance. It's a second chance to hit that serve again, or a second chance to play that dual match that went against them. And, you know, unfortunately, with the way sports are, that's the one thing you never get in any sport is a second chance. But if there's any silver lining, perhaps, that's come out of this pandemic, it's the fact that all of these seniors, all of these teams that were off to incredible starts last season do get essentially a mulligan. You get the chance to run it back. And, you know, it's a little bit different because now there are some super teams that have emerged across the country, yours as well. But is there that sense of it's a mulligan? There's a sense of relief. It's like, oh, my gosh, we actually get a chance to do this back. And, you know, how does that, you know, I guess, are you guys feeling that emotion in Chapel Hill?
I think we're still feeling that sense of gratefulness and appreciation that we get another you know, the seniors last year, they didn't even want to be called seniors because they know that it's just their time was kind of, you know, coming to an end. And and then obviously for them to have another full year, I know it's been a difficult, challenging, you know, weird year, but for them to kind of have another opportunity they appreciate it every single day. They're very grateful. And they're just taking it, you know, they're taking it in stride. And, you know, it's You know, I just literally got off the court, you know, with Sarah. She comes out, she has one class, and she's just working really, really hard and just loves, you know, just loves every single moment being out there in a tennis court, you know, because it's just a time where she can actually spend so much extra time on her tennis. So it's just, you know, it's a special thing, you know, for us to be able to kind of, you know, as you said, have a do-over, have a mulligan, have another opportunity to kind of go through the whole enjoyment process of seeing what we can do. I mean, see how good we can be, and see, you know, we've never won a NCAA outdoor title as a program, and I still feel that even if we don't, this is, you know, it's not the end all. It really isn't, because to me, I always talk about how enjoyable the process is, and every, you know, the memories that we have going through it, and to have another year with this group, adding the freshmen into it, just makes it so much more special for all of us.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about those freshmen and, you know, the youngsters on the bottom half of your roster. Let's focus on them now, because, you know, Alexa, Sarah, McKenna, Allie, they're all really good. Everyone knows that. But, I mean, when you look at the bottom of this roster, and, you know, Cam and Elizabeth have kind of solidified themselves in that middle half of the lineup. But, I mean, you have so many options, Coach, this season. When you look at, you know, obviously Fiona Crowley, the freshman who's come in and been so good for you guys at six, or someone like Annika Yarlagada, who from my hometown, so always going to get a shout out, but has contributed, you know, clinched that match for you guys in Georgia. And Riley Tran's been great in doubles as well. What's the level of competition like right now in practice? How difficult is it for you to distinguish who should and shouldn't be playing in the lineup?
It's amazing. It's amazing in the most productive, special, beneficial way. Because, I mean, my body is so sore, because our players are coming out so much, because they know that if I don't come out, okay, I'm not going to get better. Exit, you know, this player is coming out. So our players are there. Our players have come out. Allie Sanford, who's not in regularly in the singles, she's come out more, and her and obviously our freshmen, they don't know anything different. They love tennis. Between Riley and Fiona and Sarah McClure, they just come out and they work really hard. They're very unselfish. I mean, Cam, the last 2 weeks, I went with her every single day at 8 o'clock in the morning, and she's really working hard on specific things in her game. And, you know, she, you know, you can see it paying off. I mean, you got somebody who is a perfectionist and wants to do things the right way. But, you know, to me, I told her the other day, I said, you know, she never takes a play off. She never takes a point off, never takes a day off. So, and then you got Elizabeth Scotty, who, I mean, she, you know, she is so professional and respectful. And, you know, yesterday after practice, she stayed for 30 minutes, and that's typical for her. She wants to get all in these extra reps, you know, and so she, you know, she's loving it. She's really enjoying it. And you can see, as I said, you know, her willingness to come out the morning of the national championship in 30-degree weather, you know, when we're not playing until potentially 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, was really, the hard work, you know, really, really pays off and is showing, you know. And again, with all the competition that we have, I think it's turned into a real positive thing, where the competition could be like kind of nitpicking and kind of coming at each other. But it's actually, you know what, everybody knows, hey, if I prepare and I work hard, I'll get my opportunities. But it's not just getting my opportunities. When I get my opportunities, I want to do something with it. And our players have been able to do that. You know, I mean, at Georgia, we got two people out, and then, you know, you got Annika and Riley stepping in. And ultimately, on four courts, they got to go on after all these other matches and have to feel the pressure of having to kind of beat Georgia after losing doubles point on the road and have to win those last two matches out there, was really special to see.
Mm-hmm. No, and again, I think she was like 10 or 11 maybe when I was 16, 17, and you know, so at that point I'm dusting her. But like Annika could have finished that match at 5-2. I didn't need the tiebreaker in the third set against Georgia, just so she knows in case she listens. But nevertheless, it was a great performance from her. And you know, the second half of this question would be for me is because given the fact we're amidst a pandemic, there aren't going to be as many match opportunities just in general for all of the teams as you're accustomed to. You know, by the time you've hit NCAAs, most teams have played at least 30, most sometimes north of 35 matches. But given the fact that there aren't going to be that matches this season, how do you balance giving everyone on your roster a shot to play versus, you know, ensuring the people you need come NCAAs have enough reps under their belt throughout the rest of the season?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think in the past, I think our super seniors don't really, they've played enough tennis. I don't think they really need to be in there. So if I don't think, I think they can take a day off or here and that, and we can afford it, we're going to give them a day off. They have the experience, they have the miles put in the matches over their course of their year. So I don't think they need it. I honestly, I think they would benefit from being fresh on the stretch run at the end as well. So, obviously, you know, trying to figure out if, you know, Scotty and Cam, whether they, you know, they need, you know, days off. But to have Fiona, you know, she's been a regular in our lineup, and she'll continue to be, because I think she's going to, every match she gets to play is going to really be beneficial for her. And then we need to get Riley and Annika and Allie and even Casey at times some reps to make sure that, you know, because they're all different styles. And so, you know, going down, you know, we don't get any credit having the best 7, 8, 9, and 10, 11 players in the country. We don't get any credit. But where we could get credit is maybe being fresh and maybe having players kind of be able to have a style that would match up really well against somebody. So, you know, it kind of reminds me in 2010 when we made our first Final Four, we lost the doubles point to Duke in the NCAA quarterfinals. And I just knew we weren't going to win the match with the lineup we had, but we had seven really, really good players and they all been working really hard. So we actually took our number three player out and moved everybody up and put Zoe DeBrucker in at six. And we ended up winning four singles matches. And then the next day against Florida, you know, I think we did the same thing. And if Sanaz didn't miss an overhead, but if Sanaz hits an overhead over the short fence in the McWhorter courts, you know, over Embry, I think we win that match because we win the other matches on the court. So, you know, I think the luxury we have keeping everybody sharp, competitively sharp, is that, you know, we will have the opportunity to, again, have some options, okay, going forward that other teams might not have, not having the quality of players at the bottom of our lineup.
Can I just say I always appreciate a coach with that sort of memory of the 2010 shot. I wasn't going to bring that one up. I do have a 2014 NCAA final question for you in a bit, but I want to sneak in one more question on your roster, and in particular, I want to talk just quickly about McKenna Jones, who, you know, 2 years ago was playing number one singles, was, I believe, ranked number one or number two in the country. And obviously, if you have followed college tennis closely over these past 4 or 5 seasons, we know the tennis she is capable of. But, being around your team a little bit, that she's dealt with a bunch of different injuries and hasn't really found her rhythm yet this season. And certainly when she does, that's a scary thing for the rest of the college tennis world. What are you guys doing to ensure that, because I feel like she has played fewer matches than some of the other seniors on your roster of late, what do you guys do with her to ensure that she gets the enough matches that she needs?
Yeah, another really good question. You know, we need McKenna. I mean, there's no question. And but we need McKenna feeling good about her game and feeling comfortable. She, unfortunately, was playing unbelievable tennis to start of this year. She beat we had a kind of a hidden duel with NC State and Virginia, and she beat two really, really good players. One of them was Natasha Subhash in straight sets.
And Argy was playing at the level of when she was, you know, top two in the country. And unfortunately for her, she, you know, she tested positive was out for 2 weeks. And it looked like she wasn't going to go make it back, you know, in time for indoors. But she passed her echocardiogram, the heart test, and she was able to kind of, you know, get some of her conditioning back. And I think honestly, playing indoors, that was really her goal, and she was so excited. She loves that tournament. Last year, she was a rock for us at indoors, and you know, it was a huge point, as you saw in Chicago. We wouldn't have won, you know, the indoors last year without basically her winning every match, you know, as solid as she did. I wasn't planning on playing her every match because I didn't think she was physically ready, and definitely mentally ready. But she struggled the first day. Second day, she played great. And I'm like, well, she played great the second day, so I'm going to play her the third day. So, but I think she's still kind of getting her feet under her confidence and her timing and her rhythm back from, you know, being missing those 2 weeks. And she's the kind of player that needs practice reps. And so she's been getting that recently. So, you know, we're excited to give her more competitive reps in the future. So definitely somebody that, you know, we really, really need down the stretch, and excited to see what she can do for us.
Mm-hmm. And as you look down the stretch, you guys have a bunch of ACC matches. As you mentioned, you already got the win over Virginia last weekend, but you still have Miami, Florida State. You're going to see Duke down the road. I think you guys have NC State down the road as well, ACC championships. But, you know, when you look even in your conference and beyond that as well, you look at a school like Pepperdine that's able to bring back Jessica Fela and, you know, Ashley Leahy, and they bring in Shiori Fukuda as well. You've got a super team in Texas with all of their talent there, and even, you know, NC State, Florida State, all these schools, Georgia, bringing everyone back. Of course, you look at the past 10 years of college tennis, some of the teams you guys have had, Stanford, UCLA, Georgia. When you look, I suppose, broadly at the level of women's college tennis, how would you say this season and just, you know, again, trending these past 10 years have fared? I look at it and I see just the level continuing to increase across the board. Of course, it helps when you have a bonus year for everyone this season. But, you know, from your perspective, when you look across the country, what are your thoughts on the level?
Yeah, this year's level, you got super teams. You've never had super teams. So we have 11 girls on scholarship, and most teams have more than eight. So you got the quality of players and the depth of the teams is phenomenal this year. But take that out of the equation, and you still the level. You got players coming to college that would have typically gone pro. You know, Peyton Stearns for one. So I mean, you got a lot of great great players playing college tennis. International players staying, stick with the Texas theme. You got Anna Tirati, who, you know, has been playing pro tournaments, and she's spending her fifth year playing, you know, for Texas. And who would have thought that when she came in as a highly, you know, professional, basically as a junior. And not to mention, you know, you got Stanford, and you got Stanford, who's under the radar. I mean, I know they just started, but they have pretty much everybody back. They got super team because they got extra players. And so, they had Arbuthnot, who wasn't going to come back, and now she's back. So they, you know, you got teams that are so strong. Within our conference, I mean, Florida State added the number one player from Michigan's team, who is, you know, top 25 player in the country, to their lineup. And, so Florida State, who was, you know, top two in the country last year, you know, got better. And then obviously Duke, the players, you know, weren't going to come back. Mabel Chi wasn't coming back, but now she's back. You just got such depth in college tennis. With Virginia, you got Navarro, who ended up, you know, instead of turning pro, going to college. So, I mean, it's, you know, really, you know, UCLA is so scary good. I mean, you got, you know, a girl from Georgia who transferred there, Vivian Wolf. You got Vanessa Ong, who hasn't played at all this year, but, you know, is on the bench. So UCLA is, you know, is very, very, very difficult team. Pepperdine, you know, obviously one of the best players in the country last year, transferred there, and Fukuda, as you mentioned. And they got
you know, a couple of really good foreign players, not to mention, you know, Fela, who's playing amazing tennis these days. And then obviously the number one player in the nation, and Ashley Alehu, who didn't play in indoors, is on their roster. So there's so many great teams, and I know I've kept some out, but you know our team is as deep as any. You know, I felt last year, you know, I thought our depth was better than anybody's depth, just because you know, you had, you know, again, with our lineup that we had, you know, it was proven that, you know, our depth was very strong, and we were winning a lot of matches at the bottom of the lineup. But also our you know, when you look at the UCLA match, we, you know, our depth really carried us last year, and our top three was just as good as their top three, and those are just, you know, dogfight matches. This year, you know, our depth is still very good, but our, you know, again, I think we have the best 7, 8, 9, and 10 players in the country, but it doesn't really give us anything.
No, it's fair. Again, the talent across the board, again, it should lead to a spectacular home stretch here of this 2021 season. And again, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I do want to talk, you know, about your Carolina program quickly, because obviously you've got a ton of talent now, but that sticks with the theme of these past 10, 15 years of Carolina tennis. When you look at players like, you know, Jamie Loeb and Haley Carter and Jesse Annie, who are all now playing in the pros and were successful at North Carolina. What, you know, how helpful is it for you as the coach to have former players who your current players can turn to and say, look, this is what I did in college to help prepare me for a pathway to the pros? And, you know, do you continue to believe that college tennis can be a successful vehicle to helping all these women across the country eventually play pro tennis?
Absolutely. I mean, everybody that's coming into our program wants to be a professional tennis player now, which is amazing. And that's the difference in our program now than in the past. Haley Carter, while she was trying to be a pro, was helping us as a volunteer coach, and, you know, helped us, you know, our last NCAA run to the semis, you know, in Orlando. Haley was on our staff while also playing pro events. And now she's top 30 in the world. And doing incredible things in Grand Slams, and she trains out of Carolina when she's not, you know, overseas, and she has opportunities. She comes back to Carolina and trains out of here. And so does Jamie, and Jamie comes back and gives back. And so it motivates our current players to see that our family, our players, that they always have a home here. It's exciting, you know. Our players, Sarah wants to, you know, continue to play. McKenna wants to continue to play. Alexa does. And they're going to use want to use this Carolina, you know, resources, facilities, and family as their training ground. So when they leave the program, they're never, ever, you know, leaving. They're always, you know, anything they need, we will provide for them.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to be like, you know what, give me 6 months before you come back to Chapel Hill. You're like, 5 years was a lot. Like, you guys mind giving me an additional 6 months? But no, I completely understand that sentiment. And again, there have been so many fantastic teams in women's college tennis over the past 10 years. You think about some of those Stanford teams, some of your teams. Obviously, that 2019 season, the last NCAA we had between you guys, Stanford, and Georgia, it was literally a pick 'em. Who's ever playing best is going to win. I know you guys are going to be looking to make, I believe, your second NCAA final in program history. The first came in that 2013-2014 season. Curious, because, you know, talking to you now, clearly you've got a memory for that match. How well do you remember that, you know, those third sets at 3 and 4 singles in that 2014 final, McPhillips and Van Wyn versus Price and Dye?
Unfortunately, I remember it too well. I remember it like it was yesterday. And there's just, again, it was just unfortunate because the two matches, as you pointed out, the two matches that came down to was Caroline Price versus Kyle McPhillips, okay, and then Van Wyn and Ashley Dye. And obviously the match where it was very key for us after losing doubles point, the match that key was Caroline. Caroline was up 3-2 in the third, and had a game point. And McPhillips came to the net, and I was on the bench. And McPhillips had an easy volley
and hit the volley right towards me where the umpire's side as well. And as she hit the volley, my view is to where the ball bounced and also to her. And it was very obvious as she missed this easy, easy volley, she just turned her head away and walked back. And the umpire also had a view of the umpire who was right next to me. The umpire did not see the ball bounced. And it was just like, again, it was such an easy volley that no one ever would think that Kyle would ever miss it. Okay. Kyle put her hands on her head, turned and walked away. And Caroline called the ball out because it was out. And Caroline was right there, you know, to play the shot. So unfortunately, the girl didn't obviously, you know, appeal. And the ref unfortunately made a bad mistake and just immediately just overruled because, again, that she was just convinced that she would never miss it. So unfortunately for us and Caroline did not handle it well and ended up, you know, losing serve, you know, not breaking her. So instead of being a 4-2 serving, it was 3-3. And then obviously it was difficult. But to me, in my mind and heart, that if that goes the way it should have gone, Caroline wins that. And we win it, you know, and so it was unfortunate, but, you know, again, it was such a great match, two high level teams. Obviously, you got Haley Carter beating Jennifer Brady 2-2 at number two. And then obviously, you figure for us, you know, if, you know, Jamie is beating Robin Anderson twice and for Jamie not to beat Robin Anderson that match and still have a chance, because to me, you got a player, you know, like for us, Tessa Lyons at six, who, man, what one of the best fighters, competitors I've ever coached. For her to win against Kayla Ray down at six and just leave her as a senior, leave her whole guts and heart on the court was truly remarkable. And then obviously you got Kay Vial winning at five against Katherine Harrison, which is an incredible match. You know, Kay just played the match of her life. And then Ashley Dye, you know, having to be fully cramped after the match and having to be, you know, just going, you know, just getting some IVs in her, you know, leaving it out there at four, you know, against an incredible player in Ben Nguyen. So, I mean, it was just again, I know our team was very disappointed, but I was actually very happy with the, you know, just the way we competed, the way, you know, we lost the doubles point, came back and gave ourselves an incredible opportunity to win a national championship.
No, I mean, first of all, again, incredible memory by you. I'm looking at these rosters and I'm like, how can the teams now be better than these teams? But they actually might be, and that's the crazy part. And I'm looking at number one doubles, Anderson and Brady versus Loeb and Carter. Like, plop me on the sideline there. That would have been a fun one to watch, no doubt about that. But yeah, no, an incredible match. And again, it speaks to how close it is between these teams, how thin the margins are at the top.
Well, not to mention the day before when yeah. Basically, Caroline Price has to be Carol Zhao at the number three position. And then Jamie Loeb beats Christy on 6-0, 6-0 in the second and third sets. And obviously, Haley killing Krista Hardebeck. That match is, you know, against Stanford in the semis was remarkable. So, I mean, it's just the level of competition was phenomenal. I mean, it was just the quality of players. Carol Zhao at three. It was such fun tennis back then. And I just, really have such proud moments of our team.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think I'm looking at the box score now. All six of Stanford's players were ranked in the top 60 of the ITA singles rankings. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, and again, it speaks to the level in college tennis. It speaks to the excitement we all have ahead of us. And, you know, again, I guess my final question for you would be in terms of expectations. I'm not going to ask, is it national championship or bust? Because that's a stupid question. I will ask, when fans around the country watch your team compete and when you're watching your team compete, match in, match out, what do you hope to see from them for the rest of this 2021 season?
Well, I think it goes back all the way to 2010. I mean, we've been actually at some point in those seasons for the last 11 years, we've been ranked number one in the country. And then we've never fallen out of any ranking period of the top five. Okay. So to me, what I love about our team, no matter who we're playing against, okay, we show up. you know, we have enjoyment and we have pride. Okay. We don't take a day off. We are competitive and we give it our best. We don't always come through, but I love the fact that we respect the game. We respect our opponents and we have too much love and pride for each other to just kind of go through the motions. And I'm hopeful that we will continue to do that this year. And that will in turn propel us to continue to get better and have an incredible, enjoyable season to boot.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, it is very clear to all of us who watch your team compete, if you don't mind me saying that, you guys are enjoying yourselves. And yeah, it's what college tennis is all about. So, Coach, thank you so much for taking the time to chat today. Obviously, wishing you guys safety, health, success throughout the rest of the season. And I suppose, as always, I will throw in a go Heels.
Thank you, Alex. Really appreciate the time. It's you guys do such a great job with Crack Rackets, and to have you guys supporting college tennis the way you do is such a joy. So thank you so much for everything.
Oh, it's our pleasure, Coach. Take care. Hope all of you enjoyed my conversation with Coach Brian Kelbis. A huge thank you to him for taking the time to chat. Obviously, we will be wishing him and his team safety, health, success throughout the rest of this 2021 season. If you want to hear more about all the goings-on in college tennis, as always, I will recommend you go check out our Great Shot podcast feed, Chris Halioris, Matt Stachowiak, joining me every week to talk about the biggest storylines both on and off the court in the college tennis world. Of course, if you've missed out on any of the action, there has been so much throughout the various levels of tennis over these past few weeks. You can catch up on everything by going to our website, crackedrackets.com. As always, I will ask you like, rate, subscribe, review this podcast, the Great Shot podcast, Mini Break podcast, all of our Cracked Rackets shows. You need those more immediate updates, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. We are at Cracked Rackets. You want to message me directly, I'm at Great Shot Pod. Shout out, as always, to the super producers, Fliegner and Westoff, for the of any job they do day in, day out. Shout out as well to our friends at Midwest Sports. Go to MidwestSports.com. Use that promo code CR15. But with that in mind, for our wonderful guest, head coach Brian Kelbis, our super producers Fliegner and Westhoff, our friends at Midwest Sports, and all of us here at both Cracked Rackets and the Tennis Channel Podcast Network, I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. You've been listening to another edition of the Cracked Interviews Podcast. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you all soon. Thanks, everyone.